That's fine. Okay, good morning, everyone. I'd like to read a portion of Scripture before we get into the Word, and it's a very familiar piece of Scripture from Ezekiel chapter 37. And it reads like this. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the bones of the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. God will bless the reading of his word. One of the most amazing prophecies in the whole of the Bible. I want to talk this morning to you for a short time about the God of lost causes. If ever there was a lost cause, this was it. The Valley of Dry Bones. Obviously, used to be people. According to its fulfillment, they stood up a vast army. So there was an awful lot of people involved in the valley. But they were not just complete skeletons lying where they'd fallen, you know, head, arms, ribs, and all the rest. They were not complete skeletons. It was worse than that. They had become disjointed and scattered. It was like one arm was over there and another arm was over there and a leg was here and a leg was there and the skull was somewhere else. They had all become mixed up over a very long period of time. So looking at it from the natural point of view, there was no way. There was no way that these skeletons could ever come back together again. Which is why, we read it a little bit later in the reading, Israel was saying at the time, Our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. We are cut off. And this is when This is why when God asked Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Ezekiel very wisely answered, "O Lord, only you know. It's beyond me," he was saying. I haven't got a clue. I just can't see it happening. Only you know whether these bones can live." Ezekiel wouldn't commit himself to something he knew was really impossible. You know, there are three elements in this prophecy: the will of God, the word of God, and the wind of God. If it's God's will for something to happen, then all it needs is for God to speak the word, and in this case, send His wind to breathe into the fallen. There's no question about the fact that this is referring to the nation of Israel. And at a very specific time in their history, it could not have referred to the first captivity, the first exile, when they were taken to Babylon, which only lasted 70 years. The second captivity, which began in AD 70, was the most devastating of all. The temple was destroyed, the priesthood abolished, the sacrifices ceased, and the Jews were taken. And over nearly 2,000 years, they were scattered further and further and further away from their homeland. That is why the Bible says these bones were not just dry, they were very dry. During that long exile, the Hebrew language had fallen into misuse. There was nothing left. And after almost 2,000 years of exile, that is how Israel looked. They had not been a nation for nearly 2,000 years. I don't know of any other nation that has become extinct ever coming back together again. The Incas, the Aztecs, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, they no longer exist. They're archaeological sites in the desert. So what makes Israel different to the rest? Well, we know that God made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which He called an everlasting covenant. But as if to make things worse than Israel's, well, it was not even, Israel did not exist in the year 1947. 2 years before, the Holocaust had wiped out half of the world's Jewish population. So that made it even more not likely that they would ever come back together. But just 3 years after the end of the Second World War, the United Nations passed a resolution declaring Israel to be a nation again on the world stage. After nearly 2,000 years of exile, where they had been scattered to the ends of the earth. And you know, the people of Israel that have come back today, they've come back for over 100 countries. That's the extent to which they were scattered. South America, the Far East, Russia, South Africa, you name it, they were scattered everywhere. And so the picture that Ezekiel saw when he saw the vision of the valley of dry bones represented the people of Israel. And that's why God said to him, "Can these bones live?" And Ezekiel didn't have the answer. He said, "Oh God, only you know. There's the will of God, there's the word of God, and there's the wind of God." it all happened. Do you know something? Israel became a nation again in 1948. And in just over 70 years, they have rebuilt the land, and they have become one of the most vibrant nations on the face of the earth. In terms of success, they rank number 5. In terms of innovations, you've heard of startup nations, they rank number 2 for innovations, for startup industries. All in just over 70 years. It's got to be a miracle. It's got to be a miracle. You know, there are nations that have been around for a couple of thousand years, and they're not even a quarter of the way that Israel is today. So, you talk about the God of lost causes. Well, He is the God of lost causes. When it's His will, when He speaks the word, when He sends His wind, His breath, all things are possible. And there's another prophecy in Ezekiel 16, which is talking about Jerusalem. And this is what it says. On the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to make you clean, nor were you rubbed with salt or wrapped in cloths. No one looked on you with pity or had compassion on you to do any of these things. Rather, you were thrown out into the open field, for on the day you were born you were despised. Then I passed by and saw you kicking about in your blood, and as you were there in your blood, I said to you, live! I made you grow like a plant of the field. You grew up and developed and became the most beautiful of jewels. You talk about a lost cause. What a hopeless picture is presented. And the psalmist says of Jerusalem, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. There's a past and there's a future. There's a used to be and there is a now is. And that desperate picture of Jerusalem in its earliest days was transformed when God said to it, live. And you grew up and developed and became the most beautiful of jewels. And you know something? Ezekiel 5 tells us that God has set Jerusalem at the center of the nations. Not just geographically, but prophetically and spiritually. And that is why I say today that God is the God of lost causes. In any given situation, the question always needs to be asked, what does God say about it? What is His mind on it? And you know something? It doesn't really matter what others say about it. If God says it, we'd better believe it. You see, the will of God is paramount. And in Ezekiel 37, 6 times, God says, I will. That shows intent, doesn't it? I will. 6 times He says, I will. And all Ezekiel had to do was to speak out what God had said. And it was only a matter of time before the word of God was activated and the miracle happened. Incidentally, in Ezekiel 37, in Ezekiel's prophecy, by the way, there's one expression that is used 67 times. And it is, and then they shall know that I am the Lord. Over 40 times, it's referring to Israel. Then they shall know that I'm the Lord. Over 20 times, it's referring to the Gentile nations. And then they shall know that I am the Lord. There's another story in 1 Samuel 23. David was on the run from King Saul, and he had taken shelter in the cave of Adullam. And the Bible tells us that at that time, about 400 men joined him. And it tells these men were in distress, in debt, and discontented. Not the most hopeful group of men you're ever going to meet. I mean, they were in desperate straits. They were in distress, they were in debt, and they were discontented. But you know something? David got hold of them. He challenged them. He inspired them. He transformed them. And you know, these men, in that desperate situation of life, they finished up being referred to as David's mighty men. In fact, they've got a whole chapter dedicated to their memory. And in that chapter, it describes some of their exploits. What a way they came. From where did they come? Hopelessness, helplessness, despair, distress. And yet, somehow, over a period of time, they were transformed into David's mighty men, and they did exploits for God. That's why I say today, He's the God of lost causes. He can do anything with anyone as long as we cooperate. The same could be said of the 12 disciples, who were not the most intelligent of men. They were not educated. They were not schooled as the Pharisees were. This was picked up in Acts chapter 2, wasn't it? When they say these are unlearned men. And you know, they had some success during their time with Jesus, but they had a lot of failure. And it all finished up very badly when Jesus was arrested and crucified. They all deserted and ran for cover. But that wasn't the end of the story, because somehow Jesus revealed himself to them alive. And they came back together and they met in the upper room and were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were transformed. They were turned upside down. And they went on to do tremendous things for God that's recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. They went on to become key leaders in the early church. You see where they came from? A bunch of failures to incredible success. There's another story found in 2 Kings 7. By the way, there had been a tremendous famine because the city was besieged by the Syrians. And as a result, the cost of food had absolutely rocketed. And then Elisha comes on the scene and he says this: "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seah, or 2.5 ounces of flour, will sell for a shekel. And two seahs, 5 ounces of barley, for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. The officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, 'Huh. Even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven, could this happen?' Elisha said to him, 'You will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat any of it.'" You know something? The famine had become so desperate. Mothers were eating their own children. That's how desperate they had become. A donkey's head sold for 80 silver shekels. A fourth of a cab of seed pods, half a pint, sold for 5 shekels. I mean, you talk about inflation. It was hyperinflation. That's how desperate they were. But although an immediate change in the situation looked very unlikely, Elisha spoke the word of God. He says, within 24 hours, food is going to be dirt cheap. Everybody will be able to afford to buy a meal. Ah, oh, thank you, Chris. And you know something? It happened exactly as Elisha the prophet said. But not only that, the man on whose arm the king of Syria leaned, one of his servants, his assistants, he got killed in the crush. Just like Elisha said. He says, you'll see it, but you won't enjoy it. And he died in the crush. So great was the crush to get this cheap food. I tell you, you better believe it. God is the God of lost causes. He can turn anything upside down. And then in Lamentations 3, verse 52, there's another hopeless situation recorded. Those who were my enemies without cause hunted me like a bird. They tried to end my life in a pit and threw stones at me. The waters closed over my head and I thought I was about to be cut off. I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your eyes to my cry for relief. You came near when I called you and you said, do not fear. O Lord, you took up my case. You redeemed my life. That's what God can do to anyone. And these are not just isolated incidents, folks. This is par for the course for God. It's just normal business as normal for God. It's what He does on behalf of His people. You know, Abraham and Sarah's childlessness was a lost cause. I would imagine so, don't you? Well, she was 90, he was 100. I don't think there's much hope of having children of that age, barring a miracle. Well, that's what God did. The man of Gadara, possessed with 5,000 demons. I mean, one would be enough, but 5,000. He must have had a house full. Jesus just spoke the word, and every demon left in a split second. He was set free. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years she'd suffered. 12 years she'd suffered with this blood condition, this hemorrhaging. She'd gone to the doctors. She'd used all her resources to get the doctor's help. She didn't get better. In fact, she was getting worse. What did she do? She touched the hem of Jesus' garment. That's all she did. And everything was transformed. Lazarus was a lost cause, wasn't he? I mean, he'd been dead for 4 days. The body was just about on the verge of beginning to decompose. If ever there was a lost cause, it was Lazarus. But you know something? He lived to tell a tale. He lived to tell the story of resurrection against all the odds. You could say that Jesus was a lost cause when he hung upon the cross and died. You know, if he'd have just died and not come back from the dead, he would have been a martyr, nothing less. But because he died and rose again, he became our Redeemer. He had to rise to demonstrate victory over death and victory over sin. I love the old hymn that we sing at Easter. Death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior, He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, and up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. humanly speaking, Jesus died, and with him, that's why the two on the road to Emmaus, when in Luke 24 they met Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, but they didn't recognize him. He made out as if he didn't know what had been happening. And they said, we had hoped that he was going to be our Redeemer. But now he's dead. We had hoped. Their hopes were dashed. But then, of course, Jesus revealed himself, didn't he? Through the breaking of the bread. There's an old song we used to sing. I don't know if any of you remember the book we used to call The Yellow Peril. The old Elam chorus book. Do you remember that one? It had some good stuff in and some rotten stuff. Just like modern songs. There's some good ones and some rotten ones. They're not all good, you know. Whether they're modern or old. You've got to pick and choose. But it goes like this. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do just what no other can do. Isn't that amazing? Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do just what no other can do. He's still the same. He's still the God of lost causes. 2 Corinthians 5, and I'm almost through. Paul writes, for when we came into Macedonia, this body of ours had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn, conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. That's all it took to change the situation, the visit of a friend. So the message this morning, never say never where God is concerned. We may not be able to rule it in, but whatever you do, never rule it out. Ezekiel didn't dismiss the thought that God could revive the bones. He kept the door open by saying, O Lord, you alone know. I heard a story a little while ago. It was told at the men's meal at the Indian by Nigel Tween. His wife was involved in a road accident, turned the car over and finished up in a ditch. When they got her to hospital, they told her husband that she had what the doctors call a hangman's break, which is when the second vertebrae in the neck is broken. That's usually fatal. A hangman's break is usually fatal. You know something? She made a full recovery, and she's now living a normal life with no side effects. That's God. That's what God can do. And so this morning, as I close, what is your lost cause? It could be a health issue. It could be personal. It could be a broken relationship. It could be a broken home. It could be a broken heart. It could be a financial crisis, a difficult job situation, or any one of 100 other things. Not only does the Bible say that nothing is impossible with God, it also says nothing shall be impossible to you because of God. And therefore, we need to check out what God's will is. And then we need to confess His word like Ezekiel did. And then we need to wait for the wind of the Holy Spirit to transform our situation. So folks, today I commend to you this message. Don't lose hope. He is the God of lost causes. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord bless you.